Number nine. I'm starting a new series tonight called Everyday Bible for Everyday Disciples. And we're going to take, I'm going to do some practical messages on living the Christian life that I hope will be a blessing to you, and be looking for those messages. I really do appreciate the fact that you share our link with other friends. I'm starting to get calls from people out of state. They're like, hey, I had a question. Can I get a copy of your sermon? Things of that nature. And that's a blessing. That's just you being faithful to share good, solid Bible teaching with other people. I would ask that when you get home, if you would think about it, grab every web-enabled device you have and Google Church Near Me or Baptist Church, and then scroll down and click on us, okay? Help us stay at the top of Google's search list, and please write a review. Please write a review. So many people move to town, and what they're doing is they're looking and they're reading the reviews and checking out, you know, is there people who are friendly? I preached at two churches this last Sunday, and one of them was kind of like Kingstown, just friendly and loving, and the other one was not. And and I'm finding more and more people are telling me that churches aren't friendly, and I'm like, well, then you haven't been to mine, because our church is friendly, and our church, I mean, so many of our former members call up and go, we still haven't found a church like Kingstown. I'm like, well, then you've got to be the Kingstown at that church. Amen. You've got to be the contagious Christian. Ecclesiastes 11:9, tonight's message is on how to make godly decisions. How to make godly decisions. It's been a theme lately in a lot of my phone calls and emails and text messages that I've been getting from people. They're like, how do I make this decision? What should I be looking for? I want to make sure I'm where I ought to be, doing what I ought to be. Preacher, help me out. So that's why we make decisions all the time, whether it's we're going to get McDonald's or Dunkin', or we're going to eat out, or we're going to eat in, or we're going to take our lunch, or this or that. Or we make decisions all the time. But life is a continuous series of choices. So how do we make those choices? How do we make those decisions that seem life-altering? And many, the scary part is sometimes we make life-altering decisions and don't even realize we're doing it until much later. Ecclesiastes 11:9, the Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Well, that was me at the age of 19. You couldn't tell me anything. I walked the way I did what I wanted, when I wanted, where I wanted. Didn't matter what anybody thought. Nobody could tell me any different. But know thou, here's where the grow-up moments happen in our life. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You are free to make choices. You are free to make decisions, but you are never free from the consequences of the decisions you make. That is just life. Whether you're lost or saved, that is just a universal principle. We are free to make choices, but we are never free from the consequences of those choices. So how do we make godly choices? Well, number one, you need to avoid indecision. You're going to have to make a choice. Only dead fish float, all right? You are going to, decisions, if you just leave it up to everybody else, trust me, they're going to control your life rather than you. And I understand we want to turn our control over to the Lord, and that is true. But God still expects us to make a decision based on what we know of His Word, His character, and to be led of the Spirit. So don't avoid making decisions. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. We're going to do some Bible running around tonight. My outline's up on the web, so if you miss something, it's all right. But take your Bible, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. The Bible reads, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. In the midst of your decisions, in the midst of the consequences of your decision, God is with you. He wants you to make the decision, yes, but he wants you to make it according to his will. So don't just sit back and go, I'm just going to let it kind of play out. Yes. Trust me, I'm the king at taking a breath and kind of watching what God works out. That's true. But then there's a point of decision, and you need to make it. Don't be afraid. God's with you, especially if your heart's right. One of the great things about Daniel, as we study on Daniel on Sunday mornings, is Daniel makes these decisions, these I will not moments, based on good character and what he knows of God's character and what he knows of God's word, expecting God to bless him because he's doing it according to what he's been taught of God's word. I meet people that are so out of balance, they're all praise, a little bit of prayer and no Bible. And it's like, they're like a June bug on a string, man. They're just all over the place. And they're like, well, I feel led. Oh, give me a break. The Bible is clear, plain, and straight on so many issues of life. Well, you know, you're ignoring certain things because you don't want to be culpable. You don't want to be responsible for your disobedience. So avoid indecision. Figure out what God's word says. We'll look at that in a minute. Number two, be serious about it. Trust me, the devil wants you to make the wrong one. He would rather you make no decision. That's even easier. Just be bound up, make no decision. No. Now, there's certain things in life you don't have a decision on, right? You folks in the military, you put in the top three choices and you get number eight. I mean, it's not your fault, right? You don't get a choice in this matter. They gave you the what do you call that? The air of a choice or the presupposition of a choice, because you put one, two, and three, but they don't give you anything even close in the top five. And that's not your fault, and you don't have a lot of choice in that matter. But you do need to be serious about making choices for the Lord according to the Lord's will. You're going to have to want to do it. So the question is you need to be serious and say, okay, what would God have me do? What would God have me do? See, the devil it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Trust me, the devil wants to mess you up. He wants to mess with you. He wants you to make a choice outside of God's will. He gets a big belly laugh whenever God's people don't follow God and his word. So a lot of times the thoughts that come into your head sound exactly like your voice, and they sound logical, but are they scriptural? So don't trust yourself. Number three, don't trust yourself. Get good counsel. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. When you say to yourself, well, I'm just going to figure this out on my own, is God going to be involved in any of that figuring out? That's my question. Well, what does the Bible say? Have you talked to the Lord about this? I have a friend named Bob Gray who used to pastor in Longview, Texas. He had a counseling office, and over his office door, it said, have you prayed about it yet? Before you come see me, have you talked to the Lord about it? Before I talk to the Lord about it, have you talked to the Lord about it? Is the Lord going to know what I'm talking about when I bring it up to him because you've talked to him about it? Now, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord. One of the things that's going to save you so much heartache is for you to just, with complete confidence, know that the Lord wants what's best for you. And that he knows what's best for you. So when I make decisions, I pray and say, now, Lord, I want what you want. Now, I don't know what that is just yet, but I do. I'm submitting myself now by faith, saying, Lord, I want what you want. Now, Lord, I'm kind of foolish, so sometimes I'll choose the wrong things. So slam the doors you don't want me to walk through. Yeah. Slam them hard, Lord, because I don't want to step out of your will. I don't want to step out of what you would have me do, Lord, because I want what you want, Lord. That's got to be in your heart first and foremost. Don't trust yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, there are times when I say, now, Lord, I want what you want, of course. But you know, the black one, that black one, that's real pretty. And it's a few, and I'll try to negotiate with the Lord and say, now, Lord, that's a few years newer. It's got less miles on it. It's really pretty. I could do the Lord's work in style. I mean, you know, I have all these reasons, right? Now, Lord, I want what you want, Lord. I want what you want. But can I have this one? That's okay. You can ask for the one you want, but if that's not what the Lord wants, you need to remember, well, it's probably okay. I don't know about you, but I drove a lot of miles this week. We went to Kentucky, and then when Ben got sick at camp, we went back down to Tennessee thinking we were going to have to pick him up. And then we came back up this way. And I drove by so many beautiful cars on the side of the road with their hood up. My 11-year-old truck, I went, praise the Lord. You know, it isn't always just money God gives you. Sometimes it's just no trips to the doctor or no trips to the mechanic. And the truth is, if I had a Chevy or a Dodge, I'd know where the Dodge mechanic is. It's a Ford. I don't even know where there is a Ford truck shop because it never breaks. Praise the Lord. Yes. I'm picking on Bradley. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What does that mean? Does that mean you check your brain at the door? No. But it isn't always about pro and con lists. It's not always about pros and cons. Now, Lord, here's some things I have some concerns about, but I know you know best. So obviously you know about these things. So whichever you choose, I'll do. But it's not just about pro and con. Now look at this. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Not just in your career, not just in where you go to church, but also in where you live and how you live and how you interface with your neighbor and how you interface with church people. In all of your ways, in all of the ways you interact with the world around you, not just in your church stuff. Do you understand? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So don't trust yourself. Because the craziest thing you can say is, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. That's like living your life according to a country and western song. Okay, only I got that joke. Me and Bruce got that joke, okay? Okay, rock and roll joke. It's like living your, yeah, it's insane. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? He's talking about you knowing your own heart. Your own heart deceives you. It don't deceive God. It deceives you. Take your Bible. Go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, a very familiar portion of Scripture. You need to commit this one to memory. Underline it clear, plain, and straight. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world. Well, verse 15, let's look at that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because it's all going to burn up. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The fact that you and I live in a body of flesh that desires things God never intended us to have, and by the way, this body of flesh will commit any sin you let it. It will. You think, oh, no, not me. Oh, yeah. Now you're in trouble. You're one step closer to the mess you think you'd never get into, but you are. Because if you let this body commit the sin, it'll do it. The lust of the flesh. You can't trust how you feel all the time. You can't. You can't trust it. And the lust of the eyes. The problem is we cannot see the outcome of our decisions. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So I talk to the one who holds tomorrow. It sounds like a cliche, but it's true. You don't know. You don't know. And the pride of life. We are all masters at justifying our actions. We're all really good. We all should have been lawyers and defense attorneys because we stand up every day and defend our decisions to the Lord. Well, I felt like this was the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. No, I just feel this is right for me. Your heart deceives you. Your flesh wants nothing to do with God. And your eyes have a way of affecting your heart rather than allowing the Word of God. You need to know this is you. Or maybe it's just me who lives in a body of flesh. Is that it? I'm the only one who has struggles with this? I'm the only one who sometimes my feelings and what I think don't always work out? That's just me. The rest of you don't have that problem? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you make decisions, you can't trust yourself exactly. You've got to lean upon the Lord. So how do I do that? Well, seek God's will first. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Above all, Lord, I want your will perfected in my life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, another very familiar portion of Scripture you need to commit to memory. Look at it, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. Do you see that? Let's back up a little bit. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I understand that sometimes the month is longer than your money. Right? Did you ever have that problem? You got more month than money? You know, just because there's checks, nobody uses checks anymore, right? You used to say that, just because you got extra checks in the checkbook don't mean you can write them, okay? You got more month than you got money on your phone. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. Amen. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I mentioned two Sundays ago that faithfulness is just obedience over time. A consecutive a life of obedience every day, doing what God would have you do every day, walking in obedience to the word and will of God. Being faithful many times is the first step in being able to make decisions and being filled with the Spirit. I think of Eleazar when Abraham sent him back to his family and said, now you're going to pick a wife from the daughters of my brethren. You're not going to pick a Canaanite. Canaan was always a picture of the world. He says, no, you're going to go and get a girl from our family back. And Eleazar prayed and said, God, please bring. And sure enough, Rebecca came. It's Rebecca. I get the right name. It's Isaac and Rebecca. Yeah, Rebecca. I'm thinking Rachel. No, Isaac and Rebecca. Rebecca comes out, and Eleazar says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I don't know everything, but I know I'm supposed to be doing certain things every day and week to be in God, be right with the Lord. One of them is I am to read the Bible. It's the foundational five. The way of the Christian life, the first mile of Christianity starts with reading your Bible. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Be very careful about making decisions when you have been avoiding the word of God. When you run from the word of God, you run from the source of wisdom. Wisdom is just knowledge applied correctly. That's all wisdom is. That's the definition of wisdom, taking what you know and applying it correctly according to the word of God. Joshua 1:8, take your Bible. This is a verse you need to memorize. Joshua 1:8, put this in your phone, in your notepad. And these are Bible verses you need to commit to memory. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, the Bible, the book of the law. Look at this now, this book of the law, this one. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according. Now look at that. Meditate means you're to think it through over and over and over again. You're to filter through the Bible and just let that Bible bathe in your brain. Just let it permeate and marinate your brain in the Bible. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? So that you can observe to do according to all that is written therein. And if you'll do that, look at that. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. The first mile, look, you want to be in the way, you want to be in the Christian way, that first mile of Christianity, because the thing that we always want to default to is, well, if I could just know what God wants for me. Okay, that's in the second mile. You can't hope to know the specific will of God until you're doing the general will of God. Because when you're doing the general will of God, you're filled with the Spirit. Number one, you must read your Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? So you can observe to do according to all that is written therein. Why? Because when you're walking in obedience to the word of God, look what it says here. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'm walking in obedience to the word of God. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's why you memorize them, so you can meditate on them. Deuteronomy 11:18, this my word shall not depart. Anyway, it's supposed to be right here. You want, number one, the first part of the first mile of Christianity is read your Bible. Number two, pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 talks about praying without ceasing, meaning you pray through, constantly aware of the Lord's presence. It's okay throughout the day, and I do it all the time. My mind will wander a lot of times when I get into long prayer, so I'll talk to God all day long. I'll with my eyes open, and while I'm walking or driving, I'll talk to the Lord. Jeremiah 29 is a promise of victory. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Do you realize that God knows what he's doing? And God many times will share with you what it is he's doing if you'll talk to him. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's not playing with you like some toy. God's got good thoughts about you. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It can't be half-hearted. I said my canned prayer. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations. And he goes on to give the promise of victory. You want to make a good decision? Be walking in God's word. Number two, be in prayer. Number three, you need to be in church. Now, I'm talking to the choir tonight. I appreciate you. You are my faithfuls, and I praise God for you. But listen to me. Andy Stanley has become a heretic. You're supposed to assemble. The church is a gathered people. We are a called out, visible assembly. That's the definition of a church. That's why we come together. Jeremiah said, for I have not sent to them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. Andy Stanley got up and said, no, it says we're to assemble, but we're not supposed. We don't have to. You're out your mind, buddy. You are out of your mind. It says in Genesis 13:4 how that Abraham, when he got away from that place where he met with God, he got into trouble. And to get right, he had to come back. In Genesis 22, when God told Abraham to take Isaac and make a burnt offering, he had to walk 3 days to get to the place God wanted where God would meet with him. He didn't get halfway down the road and go, phooey, I'm just going to build an altar and make it happen. No. God always meets with his people in a very specific place. Exodus 33, Moses says, I want to see your glory. And God says, you can't see my face, but there is a place by me. And I'll put you on that rock and I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. That's why it says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You need the church to encourage you. You need to be provoked unto love and good works, and you need to be about the business of provoking each other. Provoke means to encourage to action. Provoking one another to love and good works. You need the church. You need it as bad as the church needs you. So, you want to make good decisions. Well, you got to do the first mile of Christianity. You need to be doing the general will of God. You need to read. You need to pray. You need to be in church. Number four, you need to tithe. You need to tithe. Tithing is a sign of worship. If you don't trust the Lord, this is how you prove you're trusting the Lord. You say, well, I think it's a little self-serving for you to say so. No, I'm telling you because I don't want you to miss a blessing. I've been tithing on 10% of my gross ever since January of 1992, and God has blessed me. And that's why my 11-year-old truck ran down the road past brand new cars all the time, because God takes care of me. It says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week. Look this up now. 1 Corinthians 16:2. People say, well, that's an Old Testament. No, it's a New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week. What day is that? Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. What does that mean? Did God increase you this week? Did God give you this week? Okay, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Amen. 10% of the gross. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Look what it says. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace. What's that? Supernatural enabling, abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What is sufficiency? Enough for you to do as God has called you to do. Take your Bible, go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I once heard a preacher say, if you want to kill a deer, you shoot him in the heart. You want to kill a dog, you shoot him in the head. If you want to kill a Baptist, shoot him in the wallet. Matthew 3 and verse 8. I know, they're dad jokes, but they're good. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein? Where did we rob thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now we know that from 1 Corinthians that the storehouse is the church. That's where your tithes go. It belongs to the Lord. It's not mine. It's not the deacon's. It's the Lord's. And it's supposed to come to the storehouse. I love Franklin Graham. You give your offerings to Franklin Graham. That's your business. But your tithe is supposed to go to the storehouse. That there may be meat in mine house. And now look at that next phrase. And prove me now herewith. Go on and test me, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that ye shall not be able to be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call thee blessed. Let me tell you something. If you don't trust the Lord to take care of you, now, I don't know what you expect him to do. Now, I know that's harsh, and I love you, but you either trust the Lord or you trust yourself. And if you're trusting yourself, you're in trouble. I get it wrong a lot, but when I do what God tells me to do in the Bible, now the outcome is up to the Lord. I remember writing my first tithe checks. Did I ever tell you that story, Brother Jim? It was $70. I made 30, I'm not kidding now, I made $350 a week. Gross back then. That was a ton of money. And I wrote a check for $70. That was a two-week tithe check. And the plate came by at the First Baptist Church of Dunlap, and I couldn't let go of it. My hand was sweating and it was stuck to my thumb, and I kind of went like this, and I dropped it in. I went home, got up the next morning, had a flat. And I looked up at the Lord and went, what's up with this? I put in my tithe. Come on now. Sure enough, the neighbor saw me out there talking to the Lord like this. Are you okay? And I said, I tithe this week. Look at that. He goes, oh, I got another one here. And he handed it to me. He went into his truck and got it. He had a tire that fit and just boom, put it, tire and rim, put it on there. I got to work on time. Amen. Lord had it. Did I ever tell you my mower story? We needed a mower. Ms. Mix and I bought, we were in Tall Cotton, Brother Jim. We sold that little house along the river, and we bought, it had 2.5 acres with an in-ground pool and a big circle drive. Whoa, we were in big money. It was $66,000 we bought this house. Man, it had 2 outside garages. It had 3 bedroom and 2 bedroom. I mean, I had a circle drive. This in Mossville, Illinois, buddy. Woo, we was in Tall Cotton, and we needed a mower because I got 2.5 acres. So I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, and I'm going to get me one off Craigslist. So I got me a mower, and my wife says, did you talk to the Lord about it? Oh, listen, it's just a mower. You know, I paid $500 for that mower. That's a lot of money. I paid $500. I got me a Massey Ferguson. Went to church on Sunday, and they said, hey, I heard you bought a big place. Do you need a mower? I've got a rider. And no sooner that he got that out of his mouth, this guy walked up and said, yeah, I got one too. You want one? Now, if you've been walking with the Lord a while, you've got stories like that where you should have asked, where you should have thought about it. You should have stopped leaning on your own understanding and acknowledged God and prayed and said, Lord, it's your money, not mine. And read in your Bible how that the tithe belongs, Lord, just be faithful and tithe. See, you want God to bless, but we walk in rebellion. The last one, and listen, tithing's easy. Once you start doing it, you just get used to it. The hard one is the next one, and that's witnessing. To be faithful and obedient in the first mile of Christianity. You ain't doing nothing for the Lord yet. This is what God expects out of every Christian who's ever lived. You're to read, you're to pray, you're to tithe, you're to go to church, and lastly, you're to share your faith. You're to go out there and make disciples of all creatures. It is our job. It's every Christian's job to be doing this. It says in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses. You guys, the church of Jesus Christ, that's us. We are to be witnesses. Every single one of us. And the problem is, it's like a wagon wheel. When you're missing a spoke, that part of your life always slams on the ground. And it's like every 3 to 6 months, your life takes a hit. And you don't know why. You keep thinking, every time I get ahead a little bit, something goes wham. Because you're missing one of the spokes. You find it easy to read. You find it easy to pray. You may even find it easy to tithe. But telling people about Jesus. So lastly, you need to seek godly counsel. Number one, be obedient. Don't trust your judge your own heart. Be obedient in the basic things of God. Read, pray, tithe, witness, go to church. Be faithful at it. Number two, seek godly wisdom. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. You know what? There's some folks in this church who know things. Yeah, there are some folks in this church who know things. You might do well to ask. Now, the Bible says, while you're turning to Proverbs 15, 22, Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I'll talk to doctors and I'll talk to lawyers and I'll talk to people like that too. But it also behooves me to balance that advice with some godly counsel from some people who walk with God. Proverbs 15, 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. You can underline this in your Bible. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You need godly counsel. You need to come to somebody who's walking in the Spirit and ask them their advice. I'm not a doctor. I don't give medical advice, but I can tell you where I've messed up. I'm not a lawyer, but I can tell you where I've made mistakes. I can at least tell you what not to do or where I got pinched because I wasn't thinking and I wasn't listening and I didn't read the fine print and they got me. Have you ever been got? You ever been scammed? Huh? Maybe if for no other reason, you ought to ask a couple people in their church and say, hey, what's going on with this thing I got from? It's a scam. I saw it the other day. Don't do it. You don't do it. I got a text from Kaiser, what I thought was Kaiser Permanente, saying that I had some message or whatever. So I clicked on the link, went to what looked like their page, and they said, here, refresh your name, your address, your phone number, and then you clicked on the word next, and it asked for a credit card number. That ain't Kaiser. I filled it out, go jump in a lake, but still, right? They probably sold my name, address, and phone number. Do you understand? There are people in this church who know things that I don't know. So I asked them. I asked Brother Jim. I asked Miss April and Brother Mike. Brother Mike, it comes from a different place. He's got the most grounded common sense of any man I've ever met. I love Mike. Mike's one of my counselors. I talked to Antonio. I talked to Isaiah. I talked to Miss Daphne and Brother John and Brother Tim and Brother Bruce and Brother, and of course, Rebecca and Eric Bridges. I mean, I talk to these people. Why? Because they know things. They've been places. But I cannot make you listen. That's the one thing I can't do. I can't make you listen. You realize you have two ears and only one mouth, right? Right? You want to make godly decisions. Listen, you got to get serious about it. Right? You can't trust your flesh to make the right decision. Number three, you need to be walking in obedience to the Lord first. Then you need to seek godly counsel. And then you need to listen. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 10 and verse 19. You're there. Look at this. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The more you talk, the more you get yourself in trouble. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Look at this. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel. Look at that. Hear counsel. Listen to it. God has put you in a church full of people who know stuff. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. This is how you make decisions in the will of God. And lastly, listen, two more things and we're out of time. Turn over to Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalms 32 and verse 8. The next thing is, when you make your decision by faith. I go to the Lord and I say, now, Lord, this is what I feel. This is what I'm thinking. You know, this is what I feel led to do because your word says this. I've been praying about it. This is the open door where the other ones have shut. I've bounced this off a couple of other people at church. They confirmed that this looks like a Bible principle that you've laid out. So by faith, Father, I'm going to follow through on this because I believe this is what you're leading me to do. Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Listen, when I pray and I say, Lord, okay, this is what I believe you're leading me to do based on Bible scriptures and godly counsel and the leading of the Spirit, I'm doing this by faith because I want to be in your will. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him, Hebrews 11:6 says. Daniel made his decisions on the Sunday morning messages. He made his decisions by faith because he wanted to honor the Lord with it. Lastly, don't turn back. The Bible says in Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Just because you did everything right and you need to stay the course now. Stay the course. Look, I remember stepping out of the will of God. We were looking for a house. We had sold the little house there in Rome, Illinois, and we were looking to buy a house, and we were living with my in-laws. You haven't met them yet. You probably won't, and you're not missing much. But praise the Lord. No, just kidding. I love them. We were living with them. Okay. Have you ever lived with your in-laws? Come on now. Okay. Then praise God. Don't ever. Okay. But anyhow. So we saw a house. It was perfect. It was $27,000. It had two city lots. It had a two-car garage. It was three bed, two bath on a full basement on a quiet street in Roanoke, Illinois. It's beautiful. Had wrought iron around the front porch you could sit on. And I had two city lots, y'all. This is a big lot. And a two-car garage. It was gorgeous. And that Sunday afternoon, we signed on the dotted line. We had pawned everything and begged, borrowed, and stealed money and put every dime we had down on it because we wanted this house. And we were excited. We were driving back to church. And, man, we couldn't wait. But we got there a little late. Song service already started. We came in, and I don't know what the preacher preached on, but all I heard was, just because it's a good financial decision doesn't mean it's God's will. That's all I heard. And I came down to the altar and begged God to forgive me because I forgot to ask God. It's a gorgeous house. It's perfect. We don't need much, just me, her, and the dog, right? We're like, it's going to be great. It's 45 minutes to church. Yeah, I forgot about that. I was only 15 minutes to work, though. I was just on the other side of work where I should have been. Yeah, I know. And I praise God for you, sister. But I'd forgot to ask the Lord. And that moment, I knew I was out of the will of God. And I went to the preacher that night and I said, what do I do? He says, confess it. Just confess it to the Lord. Lord, I didn't take your advice. I didn't think. I thought on my own. And I didn't ask counsel. I didn't ask the preacher. I messed up. And the preacher said, don't you miss or God will get you. That's how we talk up in Illinois. For 9 months, we never missed church. Not Sunday morning, not Sunday night, not Wednesday night, not Thursday night, soul winning. Me, her, and the dog had come to church in the snow. 9 months later, we sold that for a profit, bigger than I dreamed. Because I was faithful, and I was afraid to be out of the will of God. But when I realized I was out of the will of God, I confessed it. I didn't excuse it. I didn't make explanation for it. I just went, God, I didn't think, I didn't ask. It's my fault. Do with me as you please. I'm asking your forgiveness. And as soon as you'll let me sell this, I will get out of it and get back under the skirt. I'll get back under the umbrella. I promise. I'll never do that again. And I haven't. Well, I kind of did once. after that. But I've never done it again. But if you'll confess when you mess up, and if you'll admit you're wrong, and you'll go to God and apologize and say, now, God, I'm going to remain faithful even though this was a dumb mistake. And I'm just going to trust you to help me make it right. Not everything always works out like you think it's going to, but God has a way of turning our stupidity into something great if we'll let Him. That's how you make decisions in the will of God. You get serious and say, God, I can't trust my flesh. I can't trust my own intellect. You know what's best. So I'm asking you to help me make this decision. Number two, I'm going to be faithful so that I can be filled with the Spirit and know what it is you want me to do. Number three, I'm going to seek godly counsel and actually listen to what they have to say. And I'm going to follow through on it by faith, expecting you to be blessed. Bless me, because I'm trying to honor you in all that I'm doing, not me. And if I step out, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to step back in and take my lumps and let God decide the outcome. And many times, God will turn it around for your good in more ways than you could have imagined if you'll just believe and obey. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. That's how you make a decision in the will of God. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we've all made mistakes. Father, we've all stepped out of your will. We've all done that which seemed right in our own eyes. We have all done that which we thought made sense to us with our limited knowledge and our limited view, and we apologize, Father, for our mistakes, but we trust you, oh God. We trust you tonight, Father, that you know what's best and you want what's best. So tonight, claiming your promises, we all with one voice say, yes, Lord, may you be exalted in our life. May you be glorified. May your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. And we submit ourselves to you by faith. And now in the next few moments, Father, as each person prays and brings their life before you, Father, do as you please for your glory, and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Phil starts the music, this is a time of prayer for you tonight. Won't you take your life before the Lord and say, God, it's yours? Hands out, hands open, palms up, it's yours, God. The good and the bad, the mistakes and the triumphs, they're yours. For your glory, do as you please. Our Father and our God, we love you, and our desire is to honor you with our life and our choices. So, Father, give us clear direction through the power of your Spirit and through your Word. And, Father, our desire is that your will would be perfected. And, Father, we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.